Let's get ready to rumble.
Yes, we're back. It is episode 86 of the... I can't play this character, Craig. It's episode 86 of the Hibs Ramble. I'm trying to be happy. It's quite difficult. It's me, your host, Liam, this evening. I'm joined by Craig. He's the only one who would actually come on. Everyone else is a bit pissed off with the Hibs at the moment. But Craig, how on earth are you?
I'm all right, mate. I've decided to wear a piece of merch for one of the only teams I follow that actually won this weekend, seeing as Hibs and Spurs made an absolute royal arse of it.
Yeah, you sure did. The benefit of our only listeners, he's wearing a New York Knicks jumper.
Yeah, New York Knicks, go New York. Blue and orange is coincidental, might I add.
Yeah.
Let's not go there again.
Let's not go back there. No, not again.
Yeah, let's not go there again.
Oh, maybe. No, listen, it's good to be back, actually. We had a couple of weeks off. Craig was away on holiday in New York. Mark is away on holiday. Sean's away on holiday. A couple of different bits and bobs happening.
Was Ryan not in Ireland as well?
Oh, probably.
Visiting the motherland.
I think so. I'm the only one who's not been on fucking holiday, which is annoying. But no, life has kind of got in the way the last couple of weeks. But we're back with an absolute belter of an episode again tonight after a cracking result of the weekend, which saw us doomed to the bottom six. I think this evening is going to be more of like a, instead of like a structured podcast, it's going to be more of like a discussion of kind of where it's gone wrong throughout the season and where we, like where it's been won and lost and stuff. And I don't know, but what we're going to do first is kind of go through the questions, because I feel like it's a really good place to start.
Now it's time to answer the Hibs Ramble listener questions.
We've got quite a few, Craig, as you can imagine, this week. But
I think it's best to start there, because if we go on,
yeah,
by the time we get to the end, we'll probably have covered most of them.
Exactly. So. We want to be, you know, answering what folk have asked instead of just kind of going, oh, well, we talked about that earlier on. So, first of all, as always, John McIntosh, he says, I think it's better to sack him now instead of wait until the start of next season where he loses two or three games. What's for dinner, though?
I had a mince round.
Don't mind a mince round, you know.
Mince round with some tatties and beans. Beans and mince rounds, don't they?
Yeah, no, I don't think I would put that together.
That's a staple for my granddad, who was obviously brought up when fucking rations were a thing. So, yeah, that's my only excuse for that.
Was that a whole mince round for yourself?
Of course. Didn't get this size, just having portions. Portion, what is it? What do you call it? Portion control.
You didn't get that build by eating semicircles in mince rounds.
Exactly.
Full spherical.
Full moon.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, I'm actually continuing with the circle theme. I've got a pizza tonight that I picked up earlier on. So
not a pakora pizza.
No, not a pakora pizza. I've not actually had one of them in quite a while, which is a shame because I do miss the pakora pizza, Craig. I do. But I'm, one, trying to look after my body a little bit better, and two, trying to look after my finances a little bit better, because...
Two things of mine that are in the absolute shitter. So
pakora pizzas ain't cheap. They ain't cheap, cousin. So... But no. On to the more pressing... part of John's question. Is it better to see, for me, Craig, this is a difficult one, because I don't want to be coming on here and pining for Monty's got to go, Monty's this, Monty's that. I'd rather be more diplomatic. I know you've kind of got a different stance on it, but for me, my personal view is I would rather be a little bit more diplomatic about things. You know, at the end of the day, the important thing is it's a guy's livelihood. It's his income. We
Yeah, I think we should, regardless of whatever we say, like, this is just based on opinions as fans, not in terms of the individual or individuals whatsoever. We don't know any of them personally. So
it's not even that. I think sometimes
it can be construed as a personal attack or whatever, but that's not going to be either mine or Liam's intentions. As I say, we don't know the person behind. We can only go by what we are seeing as fans of the jobs that management staff above the management team, players, whatever. We can only go by our opinions as fans based on their performance on the park and maybe some of it off the park. But
I think a lot of the comments that we got are very reactionary. There's still quite a lot of reactionary kind of outbursts happening online. I get it. It's very easy to forget that this is people's jobs at the end of the day. And I know I've seen a couple of takes online that saying, oh, well, you know, maybe get a different profession, this, that, and the next thing. But I don't know. But would it be better, hypothetically, if Nick Montgomery goes through the summer, Craig, and does a Lee Johnson and doesn't win for the first three or four league games, whatever it was he got before he got the axe, would it be better to cut ties now or go through that summer getting his players in, trying to stamp his philosophy again on the team, and then we're kind of back where we were last season?
It's one of those ones where whoever is making the decisions at this, where Montgomery's job being at stake, whether it's Brian McDermott, Ben Kensel, whoever, I think they need to just be completely decisive either way. I mean, I can't even remember what the thought process was back in August with Lee Johnson, because obviously we had the great result against Luzerne at home and away. And then we ended up sort of him getting sacked, like, I don't even know how long after that it was. So they need to back him either way. They need to back him or sack him. And in my own personal opinion is that we should make the change now. Although, given how long it takes the club, it seems to actually do anything footballing-wise, I could imagine us coming, almost getting close to being pre-season and still not having a manager in place. There's all these rumours about McDermott. He's on a short-term agreement, which I don't ever recall being the case when he was appointed. It's very much seemed like he was here for the long term. But if he doesn't go, and I mean, the longer the week goes on, you need to think that he does stay. They have to stick with him through the summer and through at least the first half of the season, I think. Yeah. Otherwise, we just find ourselves in the same position where the manager gets sacked early September. The new manager then says, right, I need to work with what I've got until January. Gets in a couple of players in January. Then do we mumble on to the end of that? Like, it's just...
It's a vicious circle, and it's just going to keep going round and round and round.
I don't subscribe to this theory that we can't keep sacking managers, because you absolutely can. If they're not meeting the objectives that they've been set, they absolutely don't, in my opinion, deserve to stay in the job. Like, some of the stuff Montgomery's came out with on Saturday, saying that the fans were 20 seconds from jubilation and elation. Like, I'm sorry, but if that's the standard, if he thinks the standard at Hibs is scraping top six on the last day of the regular season, then he's a way, way off with what the supporters especially expect. And I'm sure the club wouldn't be looking at it like that either, given the level of investment they've put in. I mean, you look at the teams that are above us as well, like, it's no disrespect to them, but we shouldn't be 10 points behind, 11 points behind Kilmarnock.
Yeah, I mean, we'll all due respect to Kilmarnock. I mean, I think they have been superb this season, but it's not...
They have, but when the level of investment that we've put in, and I know money doesn't equal success, but if you're... Do you know what I mean? If you were putting your money into a business and it was being vastly outperformed,
yeah,
by a business that was, in relative terms, you know, when you look at structure and all of that, was vastly being outperformed by a smaller company, you'd probably be looking to take your money out and put it elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you've knocked me right off my train of thought there, Craig.
But like so the thing is that that's what shows, like McInnes, just as an example, took the job in the Championship, had a stabilising year last year. There was probably periods where Aberdeen, used to be an Aberdeen, Kilmarnock fans probably wanted them out last year, you know, if they were flirting close to the playoffs and whatever. So McInnes is almost a point where you could point to say about Montgomery, to let him, you know, to give him the summer and then moving forward. But as we know, the Hibs support isn't the most patient at times. And you can see parallels between us and Aberdeen at the minute as well, I think, in terms of the...
This is what I want to touch on, though, is obviously Lee Johnson had the European games and stuff, but he had St Mirren at home, which we get beat 3-2, Motherwell away, we get beat 2-1, and Livingston at home, where we got beat 3-2, and I think that was his last league game. I think it was after that, and then David Gray was in charge for Villa and Aberdeen, and then Monty was in charge for Killie. So Monty has had all but three league games.
Four league games.
Three league games. Livingston.
Yeah, then Gray was Aberdeen, so four.
Oh, aye.
Montgomery's, 29 he's had.
Yeah, so he's had all but four league games. So he's more or less had obviously not a full season at the moment because there's still five to play. But up till now, you know, no kick in the arse off a full season to get a team whose budget and whose money spent will be in the top echelons of the division. And he's not met that criteria, which way you want to slice it, is a failure. Not getting past the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup is a failure. I suppose getting to the semi-finals of the League Cup kind of is not
Jack bad, Rossi's old favourite.
He only had
Jack Rossi's game to get there. Jack Rossi's old favourite saying, what was it, fine margins, like that. Boyle offside one could still have went either way, and we could have been in the final.
We could have been. And then you give yourself every opportunity, but for me, I've always looked at Monty being like, he's no long in the job, he's still finding his feet. When in reality, his first game was on the 18th of September. 16th of September, sorry, last year. And that was the 2-2. We were 2-0 up at Kilmarnock. And the 2-2 and all the draws, I mean, we'll go on and touch on it a little bit later about all the points that we've lost from winning positions and the points that we've lost from drawn positions. And if we could at least turn, you know, three or four of those draws into wins or three or four of those losses into draws, how much more comfortable we'd be. And it would be a completely different podcast tonight because we'd be talking about we're pushing for fourth, we're going to be in Europe next season. And at the end of the day, it was very, very tight up until, you know, a couple of weeks ago when everything just started to kind of go to shit a little bit. But I mean, it's quite a depressing time at the moment to be a Hibs fan. The product on the pitch, I'm kind of going off on a tangent a little bit here from the questions, but the product on the pitch for the investment that has been put in isn't good enough. I think the tactics that the manager is deploying, although he has been kind of tweaking it a little bit, you know, the last month or so, isn't good enough. It's not where it needs to be for the level of this division, the standard of the other teams in this league. I hate to use this cliche term, but I feel like he's come in and he's underestimated your Motherwells, your Killies, Dundees, when in essence everyone could see how good they were this season. And yeah, they've maybe only excelled because Hibs and Aberdeen have been absolute garbage, but they've still got to score the goals and put the points on the table, and they've done that. And I just feel like we've completely undershot how well we need to perform to get the wins and the draws over the line.
Yeah, I think the underestimating the Scottish football part is a very key point that you make, because look how long he persisted with the 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Like, I think pretty early on we could see that although the signs of it working were there, too often than not it wasn't working. And I think supportable, I know obviously not every Hibs fan's on social media or the forums, but there was a general agreement that this 4-4-2 would cost him his job.
Yeah.
And you could say, you know, so that to me plays a part in naivety towards the Scottish game. Obviously, I think what we'll not do as well is we'll not touch on like any rumours or anything like that, because they're unsubstantiated and really didn't mean much. But you look at the continuous exclusion of Paul Hanlon as well, which doesn't seem to be for any other reason other than, I don't know, because he's in every single squad. And we've been struggling defensively recently. And it was, you know, even in a game where we were toiling, he decided to put Triantis back to centre-half despite actually moving him into midfield, because he was nothing short of atrocious at centre-half. Yeah. So there's been loads of different things, and I think that it's very easy to look at it on the face of it and just go, oh, VAR have done us over in periods, which they have. We've been unlucky in games, which we have. But then you also need to look at the bigger picture. And for me as a fan, I don't recall any game coming away from any game this season under him thinking, fuck me, we played well today.
Mm.
Like, and I mean, and I'm talking like lose. So the standard is almost set in the European games with Luzerne.
Yeah.
We've never matched that. And ironically, we played 4-4-2 that night under Johnson. So that game almost shows that system can work with that group of players. But I mean, there's been so many
arguably a weaker squad compared to what.
Well, that's the thing, mate. Right? See, in August, everybody was like, "What a window! What a window!" We'd signed Juan permanently. We'd signed Venti. We'd signed Dylan Levitt. We'd signed Will Fishback. We'd got Jordan Obita. Like, we'd signed Wallacott as well, who was, you know, was he not like first choice for Charlton or something?
I think so, yeah.
12, 13 caps for Ghana, so he's obviously not a total mug. We got Lafondre in, really good experience, centre forward. So that window in January, that window in the summer, because I went back and had a wee look on Twitter the other night just to see what, if you could find. There was nobody that was sceptical of the summer business we'd done last year. No one. Because we'd strengthened at the back, we'd strengthened in the middle, and we'd strengthened up top.
Yeah.
And then we get to January.
And suddenly we need a whole new 11.
And suddenly we need half the players that we brought in January on there. But we'll go back to the questions, because we're kind of, ironically, rambling.
Yeah, we are. Actually, Kenny segues us on to a really good question that we've got from Mikey. And he asks, has Nick Montgomery been an improvement on Lee Johnson? A lower league finish and a worse win percentage with no highlights. Even Johnson has highlights with the wins against Hearts, Celtic and Luzerne. If the answer is no, how can he remain in the job? And see, that question, I saw that earlier on when Mikey sent it in, and I thought, is this a case of us saying, oh, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, or is this a case of us then going, well, wasn't he actually that bad? Like how we remember the tail end of Neil Lennon. And, you know, are we looking back on it with, oh, it's not that bad because right now is really shit, or was that still really shit? And at the moment, is really shit.
I mean, I think he's like Johnson still gave you like the same moments. Like we had
the press conferences.
The press conferences, the Sharks, even though the Sharks wasn't yet Hibs.
The Elios.
Elios, aye. Like the you know, we had the absolute fucking scalp in the Aberdeen. Scalped Livingston away from home. Did we get to hand in under? We never got to hand. No, because we got pumped at the League Cup, and then we got pumped at the Cup by Hearts.
Aye, that's right.
But again, we had. And I don't think it's a case of the grass being greener, and because I mean, like I said, I can't take you back to how I was feeling when Johnson was sacked. I know that I wanted him gone.
Well, think about after the 2-3-0 derbies.
Well, I wanted him gone then.
Mm-hmm. I think that was
reactionary to the Hearts defeats, and I mean, he managed to survive that. For me, with Montgomery, you just need to look at his record, and he's won 8 games out of 29. And 3 of them have been against Ross County and Livingston.
Yeah.
Like that's red flag right away. I think the other team, we've got a fairly decent record against Aberdeen, albeit one of the wins was obviously under David Gray's. So I think we've got, what is it, 2 wins and a draw against them this season. But we've not beaten Motherwell. I don't think we've beat St Mirren in the league either. I think we've beaten Kilmarnock once.
We beat St Mirren in the Cup. I think we beat Kilmarnock once at home.
But you're looking at even the teams above us. So you look at the five teams that have finished above us. I think we've beaten what? Dundee twice and drawn once. Say beat Killie once and drawn twice, I think. Not beaten St Mirren. We've not beaten Hearts. We've not beaten Rangers. We've not beaten Celtic.
We've not even scored against Rangers.
Yeah, no, well, there you go. So we've not even taken a league point against Rangers. So you're talking there's a good, what, 18, well, the top five. So 15 games against the top five teams. And you could look at he's got maybe one win.
Yeah, well, this is I've just trolled back in the group chat here because you put in a really good message on Saturday. Just kind of detailing where like the games where we've lost last minute goals or we've blown leads or we've just kind of been utterly shite. So what you put was obviously his first game we spoke about earlier on, Killie 2-0 up and we ended up drawing 2-2. We get beat 4-0 against Rangers. We're 2-0 up at home at Ross County and drew 2-2. We're 2-1 up after 90 minutes against St Mirren, drew 2-2, got beat 4-1 at home to Celtic. We got beat 1-0 away at St Johnstone. And I understand that you can't always beat these teams.
Yeah.
Like it's not a given that because Hibs are historically a better team than St Johnstone or Kilmarnock or Dundee that you get the right to go and beat them whenever. But you would guesstimate that 7-8 times out of 10, Hibs come out on top. In games like that. Obviously, the 1-0 at home at Hearts. Derby's a derby. It can
get anyway. Hearts, but Hearts don't know about the game. That's 90th last minute.
You know, yeah,
last
the game. It's the game management here.
Yeah.
Obviously, Motherwell at the weekend, 2-1. And it finished 2-2. 0-3 to Rangers. And there's been a couple of times where we've...
The Tynecastle game,
and then we were 2-0 down away to Kilmarnock as well, and we managed to draw 2-2. But, yeah. You know, 2-1 up against Ross County, 98th minute equaliser, the 3-0 at home at St Mirren. The list kind of goes on and on and
even
on.
Even St Johnstone, a couple of weeks ago, it was, what, 81 or 82? I think it's something like, we have lost 15 points from goals that we've conceded in the last 10 minutes. So for like, I think it's for like the 79th minute onwards. And that's what, so you're talking
about. I understand now that 79th minute onwards now isn't the same as 79th minute onwards 5-6 years ago. It's 79 onwards now could be an extra 10, an extra 20 minutes. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, game management, I mean, players probably train now for 95, 96 minute games. So
the other one as well, Celtic at home with Joe Newell with a penalty. Like,
it's just, it's the game management, and it's... We were able to kind of grind out the results last season under Johnson. Those results that kind of, the ones that were thrown away this season, last season under Johnson, we were able to grind those out and take a point away from home where we were absolutely shite, or get 3 points where we really didn't deserve it. And then it totally...
Well, there you go. You talk about Johnson, right? At the start of last season, St Johnston, Hearts and Rangers.
Yeah.
At the 90th minute, it was 0-0 St Johnston, 2-1 Rangers and 1-0 with Hearts.
Yeah.
So we turned 1 point into 5.
Exactly.
So I think it's total game management. I mean,
and that's the same.
There's a situation on Saturday, right, where Hibs get a free kick. It's 2-1 with fuck knows how long left, and Dylan Levitt goes and plays a quick free kick and punts it out the park. Like,
yeah,
Montgomery, get fucking Hanlon and Stevenson stripped. See whoever's on the left hand side and tell them to take their time coming off. Slow the game down.
It's no, I mean, that can't all be pinned on Montgomery. Is the game management of the players, the intelligence not being there. I think Dylan Levitt's a good player, and I think that he's got an awful lot more to give, but we've just not seen an awful lot. But that's on the players for because the manager can go all day and say, you need to do this, this, and this when you're on the park, and then this, this, and this will happen. But like Tom will say to us the other week, that once you cross that white line, regardless of what the managers say to you, if you think that something else is a better option, you're going to do that. So
I know, but whose
decision was it for Dylan Levitt to then take a quick free kick? And I'm not trying to go, oh, well, if he never took a quick free kick, then we'd be in the top six.
But the thing is, if Montgomery was proactive and seen a situation like that where Hibs are getting a free kick with seconds to go, just get somebody. That's the moment you put Jair on. You didn't put him on after 60 minutes, 2-0 down away to Rangers. Like,
just,
do you know what I mean?
I just don't think that he's got that kind of game cleverness. A McInnes would do. That's what a...
I'm sorry, any manager in world football does it. I'm sorry, Hearts, I think, was it Hearts when they played Morton in the Cup? They've done it to perfection.
I just don't think that he's got... And I'm going to try and pick my words wisely. I don't think he's got the bottle to shithouse like that. I think he's trying to be the perfect football man and make himself out to be someone who doesn't... Someone who doesn't do that. Someone who doesn't kind of stoop to that level. But you need it sometimes. You need to be a shithouse sometimes. And if that means... You know, taking your time with a substitution, or, you know, like taking your time with throw-ins or whatever, you've got to do it. And especially in times where we're 20 seconds away from finishing in the top six, jubilation, maybe not, but honestly, it kind of baffles me sometimes, really. But we'll move on to the next question, and we'll kind of we'll take a wee positive spin on this next one, and this is from Kevin Wilson, and he's asking, what fun activities could I do instead of watching the last 5 games? You got any suggestions, Craig?
Fun things to do. Anything bar watching Hibs. When I seen that the first home game isn't until like the 9th of May or something, I was absolutely delighted.
Yeah, it's just, there are nothing games now. Well, unless we get pulled into a relegation scrap, can't you see it?
Let's just wrap that pish immediately, right? There is absolutely not a hope in hell we get anywhere near the playoff spot.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
It just doesn't happen, because there's been folk again, folk online, oh, we could get dragged into it, we could get dragged into it. Somebody posted like the permutations the other day. Ross County would need to win 5 out of 6. St Johnstone would need to win 4 out of 6. Aberdeen would need to win 4 out of 6.
Well, it's funny that they need to
Motherwell would need to win
4 out of 6 because they only play 5 games.
4 out of 5. Sorry, 4 out of 5. Aye, 4 out of 5 it was. So Ross County would need to win every game.
It's just not going to happen, is it?
Then it was like 4 out of 5, 4 out of 5, 3 out of 5, and then Livingston winning 2 out of 5, even though they are bottom of the league. And that
people
is
love to do it, though. People love to do it and say, oh, well, this can happen, so it's going to happen because this happened at the weekend. It's not going to happen. No.
But then you're saying, oh, what if Ross County win all their 5 games? But what if they do? We're still like 5 points ahead of Aberdeen. We're still 6 points ahead of St Johnstone. Like, we cannot fucking get dragged into it, and we will not get dragged into it.
Ross County can win all their 5 games, but if we win a game, then it's all right.
Exactly. It was just, all that happens is if Ross County win all their games, it drags the team above them further down and further down and further down.
Yeah. I don't really subscribe to that view that we're going to get dragged into a relegation fight. But back to your question, Kev. What could you do that is fun instead of watching the last 5 games? I don't know, Saturday afternoons, weather's getting a little bit nicer. Take the dog a walk.
Go for a walk in the water.
Take Mrs. out, shaggering back at Cassie.
Yeah, could do that. Could
I've actually been playing quite a lot of Football Manager recently, to be honest. I'm a few seasons down. With Hibs, though, so does that count?
Ah, but you're playing on the iPad, so that also doesn't count.
No, but it's the FM Touch one. It's like the actual.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like the FM for wee laddies.
Well, because it's easier. I'm enjoying it, like, eh? But, no. What could you do? I don't know. If anyone has any suggestions about what we could do with our Saturdays, maybe go golfing. Wouldn't mind a wee round of golf here and there, but no, well, let us know what you get up to, Kev, because we might come and join you. We might come and join you. We can go swimming, we can go on holiday. Who knows? Right, okay, next up we're going to go to Keith Robertson, and he's asking, should the club invest in a sports psychologist to help the team cut down on throwing away points at the death, assuming the club haven't already got one? Now, I think that sports psychology is quite big in the modern day game. I don't know if Hibs have got a sports psychologist employed, but I'm sure with a, you know, with the amount that we're throwing away leads and draws this season anyway, it may be a sensible investment, Mr. Foley.
Like you say, it's a big thing in football these days, but I don't think it's a psychology thing. It's a game management thing. I suppose that probably leads into the psychology thing, but it's the game management needs to be better for players and the coaching staff, because the same thing happening once, like, obviously you're going to expect to concede a last minute equaliser or a last minute goal at some point during the season, right? The law of averages will dictate it. But when you get to the point where you're dropping 15 points because of it, that's massive.
I mean, I don't know about any other team, but surely there's no one else in the country there probably is someone else in the country, but no one else in the top flight that's actually thrown away that many points from winning or drawing positions in the last 10, 11 minutes.
Without the same conversion happening the other way. Like, obviously...
Yeah, it's sickening. I can't even really
think of
it.
It's been the Hearts game where we've came for 2-0 down, and I think...
No, but like when we've fought to the end and our game management has got us back into games.
Right, yeah.
At the death.
I was thinking more like that sort of resilience part. When you come back, obviously, I think the only time we've salvaged something in the last minute of a game was, I think, Motherwell at home, maybe. I think Ellie.
That was Clyde. That's probably the closest that we've been. I feel maybe the Kilmarnock away one was maybe in the last 15, 10 minutes.
So you're looking at two. You've gained 2 points for that. The Hearts one you can add in as well, because we were 2-0 down. Obviously, it wasn't in the last 20 minutes of the game.
Different kettle of fish, I think, when it comes to derbies.
We've managed to turn 1-0 or 3-1 far more often than we've turned 1-3 and 1. That makes sense.
0-1, yeah. No, absolutely. And it's just not good enough. And definitely something that we're going to need to work on when we're looking at recruitment in the summer, whether we're looking for a new manager or not. It's going to be something that, you know, anyone, be it Nick Montgomery, be it anyone else who's looking at that job over the summer, that's something that in the playing side of things needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed very, very quickly, because if not, we're going to find ourselves in the bottom six again next season. It's going to impact on, one, the budget that we have, and two, the quality of players that we're actually going to be able to attract. Obviously, with this money that, you know, we've kind of seen the quality of players that we're going to be able to attract in the January window, which brings me nicely on to Charlie's question. Charlie for Strong Opinions, and he says, who from the playing staff would you keep? I think it's a better question than who would you let go? And Charlie says, for him, he would keep Jordan Abita, Chris Cadden, Nathan Mariah Welsh, and Mizean Malida. And that's it. I think you could probably chuck Venti in there. I'd like to keep Venti.
Eli Yuan's our most productive player. Why on earth would you want to get rid of him? Because he's decision-making shite at times. Well, his decision-making's good enough to get him into double figures for goals and assists. I think he's on something, he's on something like a goal contribution every two games.
I was saying to my dad, he must be the most frustrating player I've ever watched play for Hibs, because
if he was that good, he wouldn't be at Hibs. Do you know what I mean? So it's...
No, exactly. Yeah, no, for sure. I get it. I think I would add Yuan to that list.
Other than that, I wouldn't.
I don't know. No one else is really jumping out at me. I think people might say Marcondes. I think when Marcondes came in, he had a couple of really good games. He's shown in glimpses good quality. But
no, I mean, sorry, I mean,
he has though. He has. Yeah. I don't think I would either. When Marcondes came in, it was Marcondes and Mizean, and they'd both kind of played similar amounts of football in the last 6-12 months. And it seems as if Mizean has hit the ground running. Maybe that's because playing out wide, you know, initially is a much less offensive position than playing through the middle and what have you. But I just feel like Mizean has really kind of come onto his own and done really well. I'd love to keep him. I think the chances are really very slim.
When you're dangling the carrot of European football, there's a chance. But given that we've got absolutely zero European football to offer,
we might get a friendly.
I can't see it. As much as I would like him to stay, I mean, I think he's our top goal scorer.
That in itself is pretty. Goals. It's pretty embarrassing.
Aye. It's not great. We do need a real branch to the team, and that's for the spine all the way through, back to front.
See, the thing that I don't get, and as I mentioned Venti earlier on there, just he's another player that I would keep. I just don't understand what's gone wrong for Dylan Venti. Is it the system that's not suiting him? Because he's a goal scorer, he knows where
He scored like four goals for five touches at the start, remember? Five shots or five for six, something like that.
And then he just kind of goes quiet, but then Monty doesn't give him a chance and leaves
Same
him
with Boyle,
out. Doesn't he bother
Boyle's
with him?
Boyle's been so ineffective since Montgomery came in.
But Boyle has been... He's been persistent.
I know, but what I'm saying is it's clear that the way that we're wanting to play doesn't suit Martin Boyle either, because he's been Like he has been so far off. I know he's come back off his injury and he's had his spell at the Asia Cup, but even at the Asia Cup, he got 3-9. Was it like 3-8 games, 3-9 games for Australia, or something like that? He's got 3 league goals for us all season.
Yeah,
and he's largely
done
nothing for the most part, and that's not like Boyle at all. We can have his quiet spells, but you always get sort of something out of
a flurry at some point. And I think it's to do with just the manager and the system at all. And I think, like you say, it's suppressing.
Yep.
It's suppressing our good players, and it's frustrating. It really is frustrating to watch. But we'll move on to Harvey Scott, and he says, "I know that bottom six, in the nicest way of saying it, isn't ideal, but it's a very good opportunity to give the young lads some first team exposure and start building towards next year. But on today, I've seen a lead held better from old folk walking their dogs." Embarrassing.
Sean made a point earlier that he's not in favour of it.
Thing is, I think there's a way to do it, though, and the way to do it isn't chuck them all in at once.
You're not telling me that Murray Johnson couldn't play the next 5 games. Like,
of course he could.
No, it's not necessarily a sink or swim, because the games are largely non-pressurised. Sean made the point about you don't want them coming in when they're toxic, fans are expecting wins, and if they don't win, it'll get even worse. I honestly think right now that supporters are arsed.
I think that, and I get that what Sean's saying is that you don't want them coming in when it's toxic.
But then you can't do them when it's
because look what happens with the Megwa situation and stuff. But listen, we've no got really, well, we don't have anything to play for now. I think that the fans would probably maybe gain a little bit more respect back for Monty if he says, "Ken, what? I'll chuck these young players in like I said I was going to do when I first came in." Because everyone enjoyed seeing Rory Whittaker coming
in. Josh Landers
got a few games. So he's got it in him. I think it would maybe give him a little bit more buy-in from the fans. A little bit more buy-in back. It'd be great for these players to turn out at Easter Road or wherever in a league game. I mean, even if you just give them the home games. I mean, the last time we finished in the bottom six was season before last, and we never played any of the youngsters until the last half hour of the last game of the season when we were 4-0 up. And that's not the way to do it. That really isn't the way to do it. And there is a way to do it, and I think that they could benefit from it, definitely. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I'm all for giving the young laddies a shot.
I think it's nothing lost, nothing gained. Especially at this point of the season.
Yeah, this is it. Exactly. Next up, Haley asks, "Bottom six is no more than we deserve this season. Is this the most Hibs way to not make it into the top six, 20 seconds away from it?" And we must say that technically we weren't 20 seconds away from it, but we were 90 minutes and 20 seconds away from it because we needed Rangers to beat Dundee.
Which you would probably, well, say we'd expect to happen, but
watch Dundee go and beat them now, by the way.
Got turned over at Dingwall on Sunday, which was a rather enjoyable watch. I agree, we've deserved bottom six all season. There's been absolutely nothing for me for this team at any point to indicate that we should be any higher.
I don't think they deserve it. I don't think the gaffer deserves it. The way that we've been playing certainly hasn't merited it. See, if you look as a neutral over the course of the season, right, and you go, you've got Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Dundee in those fourth, fifth and sixth, the Hibs and Aberdeen deserve to get in over any of them. And I think as a neutral, you've got to say, and as a Hibs fan, you've got to say, no. St Mirren have played out their skin. They came to Easter Road and battered us.
That's probably one of the worst performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, if it wasn't for us getting, if it wasn't for us getting a couple of goals back, Kilmarnock would have battered us at Rugby Park. Dundee of we've been all right against Dundee, but I mean, mm-hmm. you can see that there's a team there. I think, no, we haven't deserved it, and they've wanted it more, they've fought for it more, and that's why they're there. You know, we can talk about budgets all day long, can talk about we've got this much money, we should be spending it and getting into the top six over these teams. It's not how it works. It's not. Absolutely not how it works. You get there by winning games of football. And to win games of football, you've got to be determined and hungry and want it. And we just haven't been hungry or wanted it since IMO was there in a way. So, and that is, it's difficult to admit that though, because you don't want that from your team. No, of course not. But
ideally, we wouldn't want to be competing every season for third. We'd want to be competing for first, but you need to be realistic with your expectations. And sometimes it's just, you have those seasons. We just seem to be going through one of those traditional lulls where we have one good season and amongst four or five seasons of shite.
Yeah, absolutely. Liam Riley's coming in here playing a little bit of devil's advocate, and he's saying, are we as fans the problem and overreacting / expecting too much too soon with a manager coming in and expecting an instant change? Or are we right to be frustrated and disinterested with the current manager and questioning his ability at this level? I think there's
Montgomery, right, in terms of you obviously you don't expect an initial reaction, but what I think is fair to expect that over time, certain aspects of your play, certain aspects of your performance, certain aspects of players' individual ability gets better. That's what, you know, between Montgomery, Sergio Raimundo, the goalkeeper, the goalkeeping coach Miguel, and David Gray, right? You'd expect over a period of time where the players that are getting coached are becoming better players.
And we just haven't seen it.
No, but Mizzy, I'm talking like players that were there for the beginning that you had to work with for the start. Who has gotten better from them coming in?
Gio got better for a couple of games.
But that's where I'm measuring it. There's been nobody that, from Montgomery coming in, that I could go, by the way, he's really taken his game up a notch. None of them.
I think maybe you could say, oh, maybe Obita, but Obita's been great all season. And I think he's just kind of, he was hitting a bit of a purple patch coming through this period of the season where he was actually, it was properly showing his quality and it was being showcased much better. I said at the start of the season, Obita player of the year, and you laughed at me. You're not laughing now.
But I mean, in terms of, I'm looking at where has Joe Newell, Dylan Levitt, Lewis Miller for over the course of the season regressed. Will Fish has regressed. Rocky has went through a...
Rocky, I thought, after AFCON.
But Will Fish is one where you'd expect his trajectory to keep going like that. Whereas he's literally went up for last season and then he's on his way back down.
Again, and he obviously realizes his that after his chat,
very honest and very candid, I think.
And I tell you what, for someone who's as young as Will Fish, and I can, we're going off on a wee bit more of a tangent here, that is so refreshing. And I've got absolutely no doubt that Will Fish is going to go to the very tip top in the game. He's a really good footballer, still got an awful lot to learn. I think after this season, his time at Hibs is over.
Good for both parties to have that break. Because again,
I'd like to see him go on and play top-level championship because I think he's capable of it. It's a completely different game down there, mate. And I think he will really excel. And Manchester United, in the end, will probably get an awful lot of money for him. But I'm glad that we're going to be at least a little part of his story. But, you know, it's... it's a shame to see how good he was last season and how much
nobody's gotten better this through season. Montgomery's coaching, whatever he coaches, nobody's gotten better. And you can pick out at least 4 or 5 players that have regressed. Like we said, Boyle, Venti,
yeah,
Joe Newell, Will Fish, Dylan Levitt. Like,
I mean, Dylan Levitt, in terms of a Hibs career, he's probably stayed at the same sort of level, but from where he was at United last season and the season before, it's a completely different player. Which is highly frustrating because we thought he was signing the season when we first got him.
We thought we'd stole him away for Hearts. But it seems as if they've pulled a blinder by letting us have him.
Exactly. Right, let's move on. And we will take, like, who have we not spoke to yet? Gregor says, can I have some of what the happy clappers have been taking, but why has there been no comms from Easter Road? And there has been now since the bottom six fixtures have been announced, but you know, I don't think it's uncommon not to have comms after events like that. Waterford
wanting.
Well, I mean, what can they do? Anything that they put out would be
Don't post until you've sacked them. That's what the comments would be. Don't post until you've sacked them.
This isn't.
I don't see a need in it all. Accepting mediocrity comments.
I think it all comes very heat of the moment stuff after the game on Saturday. Everyone's fuming, and rightly so. And I just think it kind of spills over a wee bit, and it kind of, people have arguments and stuff. It's just one of these things, and it happens at every club. And people are going, "Oh, how's this only happening at Hibs?" And it doesn't only happen at Hibs; it happens at every club.
Yeah, but it's more amplified for us because we see it because we're.
Of course, aye, and the Hibs fans are the fans that we follow. We didn't follow, you know, Fleetwood Town fans or fucking Panathinaikos fans.
We follow the Knicks fans exactly now. The same.
Yeah, exactly. Quite right, mate. Quite right.
They're looking like they're going to be number 2 seed in the playoffs.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Whatever that means.
Beat the Bills 120-119 the other night.
Yeah, fucking get it right up, your Michael Jordan. It kind of takes us on nicely to our poll that we put up, which actually I quoted it on Twitter off the Ramble account and said it was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be given the reaction after the game on Saturday. So we got just shy of 1,300 votes. 41% were Monty in, and 59% were Monty out. And I thought it would have been much more of a landslide for Monty out, but it seems as though he still has a bit of purchase within the support.
It'll be one of those ones that's been hijacked by Hearts and Rangers fans that have came across it that have just clicked in, I think.
But I hope not.
Again, the noise that you hear on social media, fans forums, isn't indicative of what the larger support base is, because I mean, you look at the average, you're probably looking at about a core at least, say 11,000 Hibs fans. You're not going to get that across social media and fans forums. Like, it just doesn't exist. And then you've got the ones outside that who don't go to games, or maybe pick and choose their games, or just completely watch from afar. So I think you'd be very surprised if you actually got, you know, you'll probably find that a lot of the stuff you hear and see on social media is just folk buying into the same noise.
Monty out. Why should Monty be out? Because Hibs lost. Ah, you're fucking right, Monty out. Rather than actually trying to look at the reasons behind why, like I've said about the, you know, players coaching, they've not got better. The game management. That's reasons for me thinking that we should make a change. Not just.
Monty. Yeah. It's not the reactionary sort of
and
stuff.
And I'm known for
it?
My reactionary stuff, but we see with this, I've actually tried to be quite.
You have been. Like, you
not,
have
not
tried
necessarily
to be quite
diplomatic, but I'm not just wanting to give reason. You know, it's not just, well, we didn't make bottom six, so get them out. There's obviously reasons why we haven't made the bottom six. And I feel that those reasons.
I wish we hadn't made the bottom six. Those reasons
for me. Don't lie solely at the feet of the manager, but the manager's got a big part to play in it. And I think that, once again, a group of these players are going to get off fucking scot-free because, ultimately...
And it's a poor group of players...
It's them that cross the white line at the end of the day. And they've just...
Yeah. And that's what I was talking about earlier, wasn't it?
Period of brilliance for Ellie during the season, the, you know, the 4 months that we've had Malida, out with that, I don't think, you know, well, you've got what, Jordan Obita, probably. Not many other ones can doff their cap and say they've had a good season. I don't doubt their effort. Not at all. I don't think you can question any
of
their efforts.
Of course not. But at the end of the day, you know, the manager is the manager for a reason, and he manages the players, and the players are then a product of what he wants to do. And if what he wants to do is
on reflection,
not working, then
the January window was absolutely shite. When really the only ones that have made a positive impact are Mariah Welsh and Malida. Bevan signed and sent back. Triantis signed as a centre half, gives away like 5 goals in his first 4 games, moves to midfield. Luke Amos missing for weeks.
I think there's a player in Amos, you know.
Missing for weeks. Mayenda, what was the point? He's not been seen for I don't know how long. He's been there, he's been on the bench.
Yeah.
But he's never played. Yeah.
I think he's played twice.
There's no start up in Inverness twice. As well.
I can't mind. That was
just
absolutely
that January window, looking back on it, it's just been one disaster after another, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, we'll start to wrap it up a little bit here. I've got the post-split fixtures in front of me here. So the first game, 27th of April, is away to St Johnston. Following Saturday, we've got Ross County away again. Sunday after that, Aberdeen at home. Then the Wednesday following, Motherwell at home. And then the Sunday following, the final game is away to Livingston, the new cab, or the cab new, whatever it's called
the
now.
The only
instead
positive
of
that fixture running is that we get to wave goodbye to that fucking horrible pitch. We're going to be the ones to send us down.
No, they beat us to stay up and send County down.
They'll be gone after the first game week, I think.
I hope so, and I hope they never come back. I fucking hate Livingston. But, no, it's... listen, and we're going to be with you every week up until the end of the season. And, Ken, what we'll do, we'll have another award ceremony because that was great fun last year. And it'll maybe spark a little bit of life and happiness back
I think this episode is going to be indicative of the mood overall. It's just been a bit
I think everyone's a bit flat at the moment, and I think if we'd have came on and been, you know, going, oh, everything's fine, everything's rosy, listen, we'll be all right next season, and it doesn't really kind of reflect where we are as supporters, so I want to be as honest and as open as possible with how I'm feeling. And how I'm feeling is, this is really shite. It really is. I've been flip-flopping between Monty in and Monty out since Saturday, and I still don't really know I'm going to be there next season. I'm not too sure what I'm going to do regards to the final five games of the season.
I've got my advanced single for the Monty out train.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. I think the last five games of the season will probably kind of shape where I am on that sort of debate. At the moment,
for his own sake, he has to win probably four of them.
Four out of five, yeah. He needs to win four. Yeah, and we've only won not lose
eight
any.
Games all season. Nine games all season. So,
I guess if we win four games, we'll probably end up with more points than fucking St. Mirren in fifth. So,
no.
Imagine that.
Mental.
That'd be a good laugh, eh? And technically, we probably could have qualified for Europe with the points tally and then finishing seventh. But anyway, listen, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks so much, Craig, for joining me for the last hour or so. And thanks to all of you who sent in questions and interacted with us over the last few days. We really appreciate it. You've been the bones of this episode. We appreciate everyone's opinions and, you know, opinions like arseholes. Everyone's got one. And some are stinky.
More often than not, things.
But, you know, yeah, you might think that about us as well. But, no, listen, thanks very much for listening. We'll be back after the St. Johnstone game. I think we've got
a week final off weekend. Now. Woohoo.
Scottish Cup week.
Not me, I've got a stag so I will be staying away from any and all football. Newcastle.
Oh, there, where are you going? Newcastle,
man. Like 20 minutes outside, like a big massive like Victorian house. It's got pool table, dartboard.
It'd be
a good weekend. Like,
did you hear that Newcastle fan crying on TalkSport the other night?
No, what a pay out of 100 million for Ollie Watkins.
And then Gabby Bonlahor going, "Oh, we'll give you 50 million for Isak," and he was like, "Oh, he's worth way more than 50 million." Oh, it's a belter. Right, we'll leave you with that. That was funny. If you've not seen it, you need to go and find that on Twitter. That was fucking hilarious, man. Gabby Bonlahor and Jamie O'Hara winding up some poor Geordie. But no, I'm really leaving it this time. I'm really leaving you this time. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you after this. Bye.
Let's get ready to rumble.